Our next speaker is Maninder Singh. The title is Physiological Consequences of Late Leaf Spot on Peanut Cultivars of Differing Resistance.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming. So today I'll be talking about the understanding the physiological consequences of late leaf spot on peanut cultivars of differing resistance. So let's begin with what's the problem we are dealing with. Late leaf spot is caused by the fungus Cercosporidium personatum, and it's one of the most widespread and damaging foliar disease of peanut, particularly in the southeastern U.S. It causes necrotic lesions and premature leaf defoliation, which ultimately results in reduced canopy carbon assimilation. And the yield losses due to this disease varies anywhere in the range of 10 to 50%, depending upon the management practices, which include crop rotation, burial of crop residues, early planting dates, use of resistant cultivars, but still by far fungicide application is the most commonly used practice to control this disease. Now, basically most of the peanut management strategies for this disease are focusing on minimizing the disease outbreak. So rather than focusing on that, we should be focusing on minimizing the crop yield losses due to this disease, which can be done by a better understanding of the host pathogen interaction. And so the overall goal of this study was to evaluate the effect of late leaf spot on the peanut physiology with the idea of improving our knowledge of the host pathogen interactions, which can be used in developing new screening methods for improved cultivar selection and reduced fungicide use. So based on the most of the previous research that was conducted on mostly the cultivars with really poor levels of resistance to this disease, they concluded that most of the yield losses were basically attributed to the loss of the leaf area in those cultivars. But with the introduction of the new cultivars, which have higher levels of resistance to this disease, that might not be the case. So for those cultivars, we hypothesized that the reduction in the leaf photosynthesis, basically a leaf physiology, due to this disease would drive the yield reductions. So to satisfy these objectives, we conducted a two-year field experiment in North Central Florida over 2008 and 2009. We had 6-row plots with 15 feet rows, and the design was a randomized complete block design with 4 applicates. And we had 2 levels of fungicide application and 2 levels of cultivars. The fungicide levels included no fungicide application and a regular standard 14-day calendar-based schedule commencing around 40 days after planting. The cultivars were selected based on their levels of resistance to this disease, basically. So Carver has poor levels of resistance to the pathogen, basically, and York has a moderate levels of resistance to the pathogen that caused late leaf spot. Carver is medium maturity. It takes around 135 days to mature. York takes around 145 to 150 days to mature. The average yields for both of these cultivars are pretty comfortable for our given location, averaging around 5,000 pots, kg of pots per hectare. However, these yields are under optimal management practices. Under severe disease pressure, one would expect York to outperform Carver because of the higher levels of resistance. So keep that in mind as we move forward. The data was collected on canopy basis using a Florida 1 to 10 rating scale. This is basically a visual rating scale with a rating of 1 means no disease, rating of 4 means necrotic spots all over the canopy, but pretty minimal defoliation. And the scale of 10 means completely dead plant, 100% defoliation. And these readings were used for the whole season to calculate the standardized area under disease progress curve values to account for the differences in epidemic of the disease between the 2 cultivars. We also collected data on leaf photosynthesis, the light saturated leaf photosynthesis, using a Lyco 6400 gas exchange system. And we used a light level of 1800 micromoles per meter square per second. And The response of photosynthesis to internal CO2 levels was also studied using different CO2 levels all the way from 50 micromoles per mole of air to 1,000 micromoles of CO2 per mole of air. The leaf chlorophyll content was determined on a subset of leaves colorimetrically using a spectrophotometer. And the final pod yields were analyzed by digging the two central rows and drying the pods to a uniform moisture content of around 9% on weight basis. Moving on to the results, this figure shows the Florida scale values. On the y-axis, again, a scale of 1 means no disease, scale of 4 means necrotic spots all over the canopy but minimal defoliation, and a scale of 10 means total defoliation, basically dead plants. On x-axis, we have days after planting, right from the beginning of the disease incidence until harvesting. So C is Carver in squares, Y is York in circles, and the filled symbols are for the non-fungicide application treatment and the unfilled symbols for the fungicide application. So here we can see that the incidence of disease occurred around the same time in both cultivars during both years of the study, around 80 days after planting in 2009 and around like 90 days after planting in 2008. But after disease incidence, the progression of disease was quite faster in Carver compared to York, as we can see from these curves, basically. And fungicide application also helped to delay the disease progress, as expected. And the standardized area under disease progress curve values also indicated the same results, a 19% reduction in York compared to Carver and a 26% reduction in fungicide applied plots compared to the non-fungicide treated plots. We also measured the canopy lesion area by like directly scanning the leaves at biweekly intervals, and that data also suggested around the same reduction in the AGDPC numbers as we observe here in the Florida scale value. Moving on to the pod yield values, so the fungicide application did result in significant higher yield compared to the non-fungicide plots, as one would expect. But we did not see any response to fungicide application between the two cultivars, meaning there was no fungicide by cultivar interaction. So there were no additional benefits of applying fungicide on a poorly resistant cultivar compared to a moderately resistant cultivar. And there was a cultivar by year interaction, whereas the cultivars did not differ in first year of the study in 2008. In 2009, York outperformed Carver. But in total, the yield improvement in York was just around 6% compared to Carver. So that was kind of, I mean, there was this discrepancy between a higher reduction in disease in York, but not that much significant yield improvement. So in order to address that, we collected photosynthesis data at the leaf level, where we collected the data on some randomly selected, fully expanded leaves of same age around 35 days after disease infection. So here we have, and we analyzed that data using the Bastian's model, where Y is the relative photosynthesis rate, which is a photosynthetic rate of a diseased leaf compared to a photosynthetic rate of a asymptomatic non-diseased leaf. X is the proportion of the leaf area that has the necrotic lesions. And we did that by actually scanning those leaves. So after doing the photosynthesis data, we would bring those samples back to lab and do the imagery and then analyze using an image analysis software to calculate the disease severity numbers. And then beta represents the relationship between the size of the virtual and the visual lesion area. Virtual area being the area beyond that necrotic visual area where we have photosynthetic impairment. So here we have a beta value of 1 means that photosynthetic impairment is just restricted to those necrotic lesions. But a beta value of more than 1 means the functional impairment is beyond your necrotic visual area. and a higher beta value for one genotype compared to other would mean a higher reduction in the total canopy carbon assimilation, even at a lower disease severity values. So keep that in mind as we look at this data, basically. So this is the actual data. We have Carver in the top figure and York in the bottom. And we have relative leaf ASAT on y-axis, which is a photosynthetic rate of diseased leaf to a disease-free leaf. And disease severity is on the y-axis. So we can see that there was a significant negative relation between photosynthesis and disease severity. And the beta value was significantly higher than 1, meaning the reduction in photosynthesis was beyond the necrotic lesion area. And the beta value was significantly higher in York, 4.6, compared to Carver, which was 3.6, meaning there was a greater relative reduction in photosynthesis at a given disease severity in York compared to Carver. So this higher reduction at a given disease severity in York might be able to explain those small yield benefits in spite of the higher reduction in yield in York. And we had some more data on in situ Rubisco activity, which was measured as VC max, as you can see in the first panel, and the chlorophyll content, which you can see in the second panel. And this data also agrees with our data on the photosynthetic response. So here we have, on the x-axis, I categorize disease severities into three categories. No means no disease, low means a disease severity of anywhere between 0 to 15%, and a high means 15 to 25%. So we did not see any differences under disease-free conditions, meaning these both the cultivars were comparable in their photosynthetic capacity under disease-free conditions. But with some disease, we had a higher reduction in York compared to Carver. In case of VC max, it was around 80% in York compared to 65% in Carver. And in case of chlorophyll, it was 50% in Carver compared to around 35% in, I mean 50% in York compared to 35% in Carver. So meaning, again, a greater relative reduction in York compared to Carver. So this data corroborates our data on leaf photosynthesis. So these two parameters can be used as a potential screening tools alongside a measurement of leaf photosynthesis in cultivar selection procedures, basically. So in summary, we did observe that for both cultivars, the incidence of disease was around the same time, but the disease progress was slow in York compared to Carver, as we expected. But we did not see additional yield benefits in York compared to Carver. And the total yield benefits were only around 6% in York. And there was no cultivar by fungicide interaction, so there were no additional benefits in Carver compared to York. And that can be explained by a greater relative reduction in photosynthesis rate on a given disease severity in York compared to Carver. So in general, we did find a genetic variability in the peanut cultivars in their response to disease severities. And we think that this ability to have a low beta value, that would mean ability to sustain the leaf photosynthesis on a given disease severity, should be used together with the ability to the slow disease progress in the future cultivar selection procedures to improve the yields and reduce the dependency on the fungicides, basically. And some of our recent work on some new cultivars has suggested that there are cultivars which have the ability to have a lower beta value as well as a slow disease progression. So that is something we need to do, like, moving forward. And I would like to acknowledge my advisory committee, my major professor, Dr. Erickson, all my committee members, all the people who worked in the lab helping data collection, and my funding agencies. And with that, I'll take any questions.
We do have time for one question. Right, I'll ask one. Did you see one? Okay, I'm going to ask one question. I'll use the microphone, so you don't have to repeat it. Now, you would expect, since the disease incidence, you wouldn't expect it to be uniform over all the leaves. So when you chose leaves for gas exchange, you said they were randomly selected. Yeah. Does that mean that's any leaf anywhere in the canopy, or is there some other protocol to selecting your leaves?
That's a good question. Actually, we were selecting like a leaf which were of same age. So we were like giving a one-time shot. On a given day, we would go to the field and select the first fully expanded leaf from the top, basically. And generally in the field, like I was able to get leaves at multiple disease varieties on a given day. So I had this nice variation of like leaves all the way from pretty close to a 0% disease severity all the way up to around 30-35%. So I did not do anything like differently other than just randomly selecting like a subsample of leaves and doing the photosynthetic measurements on those. And even for the chlorophyll analysis and for the Rubisco activity analysis, I used the same protocol.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.